16, it has been said. We ask them that if you don't take shelter of any of the four sampradayas, then the mantra you chant will be fruitless. You cannot do sadhana. Sadhana is in vain. Not getting fruit. Especially in Kali Yuga, there are four sampradayas. Shri Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya, and Rudra Sampradaya. Shri Brahma, Rudra and Sanak Sanandan Sanatan Sampradaya, Chatusham. So Acharya Ramanuji appeared in the Shri Sampradaya. In the Brahma Sampradaya, Madhvacharya appeared. And the Rudra Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami, he appeared in his Rudra Sampradaya. Vallabhacharya also appeared in his Sampradaya. Jadushan Sampradaya. Nimbaditya appeared. For the welfare of the world, they all appeared. This is a directive of the Shastras. So one without taking shelter of the four Sampradayas, if he does something on his own, then he won't get any fruit. Kali Yuga, the influence of Kali is very far reaching. So this Brahma Sampradaya, Adi Guru Brahma, he saw his creation. He saw that who will preach this dharma in Pratilok. Only a discipline will not do. Unless you empower someone. Like there's a boy, you beat him so much, but he will not change. He'll still be naughty. And again he'll come and sit on your lap. He'll cry and still come and sit on your lap. Similarly, he's always very useless, ignorant, still he'll always, his intelligence is not so pure. He has no Shakti. If you say that you don't have any Shakti Buddhi, then he'll become very upset. But if you say very intelligent, then he becomes very happy. Because the Kali Yuga Jiva is very ignorant, buddhihin. They have no intelligence. But still they think of themselves to be very intelligent. You say, oh, you're useless. He said, oh, you called me useless. That means you're useful. Then he'll say, you're calling me useless, then how are you in any way useful? He will never accept. So Brahma was thinking, I have to empower. One doesn't have the strength, this balheen vyakti. He can never achieve this atma-gyan. Because with this jadabal, atma-gyan is not had. The relationship with the body never goes away. So how will it be had this atma-gyan? So Brahmaji was thinking what to do. So he inquired from Vyasadev. Because Vyasadev, he has described what is useful, what is not useful, paramarthik, loki, gyan, everything. Made many disciples and propagated this line everywhere. So he consulted him. He said the five tattvas in the jivas. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Body is made of these five elements. And the most important is pranvayu. Without this life air, then the other elements will not work. Even without water, fire, ether, any of the body can work. It will run for some time. But without this life force, without this air, then even less than a second, body cannot exist. Therefore, you see the yogis, they enter into samadhi for thousands of years. What do? they become separate from all the other elements, become separate from their mind, and they become absorbed in their Atma. This is in every Murta. See, there's a living entity saying, oh, Jiva is taking so many deep breaths. So then the order is given to the Vayu Devata, then he, with every he'll help make one follow bhakti. So one is taking breaths, still is thinking about something else. Because when the air enters inside, and so many insects, worms, and all the other living entities also enter inside one's body. One person is very good, but within moments he changes. And Gaon Bhiksha with sadhus, they went to one house, we started knocking at the door. We said, Radhisham. And someone would laugh and they'd open the door, saying, oh, come and sit inside. Then they'd bring some atta, some sabji. Then we get like 5 paisa, 2 paisa. And go to another house. Then they release their dog. And they put on stick, they threw stones. And then the sadhu, he was thinking that this person has become full of tamogun. That's why he's trying to attack us. Then he goes to another house. Then when he goes to another house, they abuse him even more, saying, you're coming every day for bhiksha and saying many bad things. Then go 4-5 homes more. Then he goes to the 6th house, and that person is very peaceful, very well-mannered, very respectable. Then in the sadhu says, just see how he is, and just see how the others are full of tamogun. And they say, oh, Baba, you're making puris, eat some puri and then go. So every living entity has this tamogun. How will this tamogun go away? Where does this rajagun come from, sattagun come from? So Krishna, he says that by meditating on the objects of the senses, then what will happen, he gets the qualities of that particular association he is present in. You see, water doesn't have any color. It reflects the color of the object it is placed in. So Jiva is always pure. When the Jiva meditates on any Vishaya, then slowly, by the association of that Vishaya, sense objects, his intelligence also becomes like that. His tendency also becomes like that. It's full of tamogun, rajogun. You see, those in rajogun, they're chewing taan, paan, putting nice oil, saying, oh, we'll also teach our children to do the same. And then thinking like this, they start making arrangements. Then they say, it's every inhalation and exhalation. See, the Jiva sometimes goes to those in tamogun. Like you say, they say it's polluted. They say there's bacteria everywhere. Cannot clean the place. They say there's carbon in there. But where there's a forest, it's very clean, pure. There's a river there flowing very nicely. And similarly, Jivas, if they stay in place of ignorance, say the village is like considered to be in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion. And the forest is the mode of goodness. And the temple is a place of pure goodness. And the place where drinking, gambling, meat eating is going on is a place of ignorance. It's drinking, doing drugs. That's the very place of Tamagun. Say all these insects, living entities, they enter into such a place, and one will surely have become affected by Tamagun. And by going to the village, this Rajagun increases within him. One ties a turban, one ties a 4-meter turban on his head. Then he says, my turban will be 10 meters long. How can he wear a 4-meter long turban on his head? And you see, someone's father or grandfather dies. That time they tie many turbans on his head as a custom. Like you say, he'll tie the turban with his own hand, put the luck on and respect him very nicely. And you say, the king is also very happy. This turban is placed on his head. And they say, the village is a place where is a place of passion. And you see, everyone, they also have affected by this mode, corresponding mode of passion. Why? Because the living entities, they influence them in such a way. You go to the forest there, you see the plants and trees. They don't have this rajasic and tamasic vritti. But if you go to the African jungles, then there, if you sit on, you stand on a tree, you see the branches of the tree will embrace you. It seems they're massaging you, the branches. And so they're nicely scratching you. And then what do? They stick onto you, the branches of the tree. And then you cannot escape from that tree. And then the tree drinks your blood. They have such a carnivorous plants also in trees in Africa. And you see, even in the ocean, there are big octopuses who sink big ships. They use their they sink the entire ship. There are such creatures in the ocean also. With every inhalation and exhalation, then see, one becomes like this. All the impurities enter within him. And these living entities enter inside. But if you go to a very nice place, flowers are blossoming. The forest, you go there, you see the fragrance of the flowers will enter you, enter inside you, then your mind will become happy, senses, everything will become happy. And so Brahmaji, he said, I should catch all of this Vayu Devata. Because Vayu Devata, what quality does he have? Wherever he goes, wherever there is a bad fragrance, foul odor, we cannot purify the place on our own. But Vayu Devata, he purifies the entire atmosphere. And then he remains unattached. But in some places, they make such a house that where even the air cannot enter inside. But anyhow, he enters inside. Purify the atmosphere. So Brahmaji called Vayu Devata and he said, you should go to this world and you should give this Shabda Brahma. Give this Parabrahma. Make all the living entities related. Have samanda with Parabrahma. So with every breath, they should smell the aroma of tulsi leaves offered at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. The chandan offered at his lotus feet. With every breath, they should engage in Nam Kirtan. And this way, they'll be pure, inside out. So Brahmaji said, then Pavan Devata's manifestation was Hanuman. In Ram Lila, he was Hanuman. And in Dwapar Yuga, he appeared as Bhim. So then he said, now, if they agree, it's good. If you don't agree, then Bhim Sen has a club. And Hanuman, you see, he's burned all of Lanka into ashes. anyone is inimical to his Prabhu's seva, then he burns them to ashes. He will not let anyone live. Or else he'll tie that person with his tail and throw him somewhere. But you'll have to chant Ram Nam. Sri Ramai Sagajan Chan. Karupanam Jaga Jodapani. If you don't see Bhagavan within everyone's heart, then Hanuman's heart will not let you live. Don't see Maya. Have Sudarshan, auspicious vision, not inauspicious vision, Kudarshan. Have Sudarshan. So then there's a big meeting. Brahma held a big meeting to think on how to help the Kali Yuga Jivas. So then he called Pavan Devata, Hanuman and Bhim. And then three of them, they appeared in one form as the son of this Madhavya Bhatta. In Pachuka Kshetra, there is Parshuram. There were 100 Brahmins. They were allotted to serve the Padmanabha, the king. There he ordered them. In this very pure place, Parshuram, he did tapasya for many years. There is a very nice river flowing there, Tungabhadra River. This is nearby is Kaladi also, which is Shankaracharya's birthplace. Sharda Peet is there nearby, and Dharmasthalam is also nearby, where Dharma is discussed by Jammaraj himself. Because there is no place in Yamlok, because so many people are there in hell. Because already hell is full. So therefore he has to come here to Dharmasthal and discuss Dharma. Because hell is always full of it. And in Dharma is in Dharmasthal. In Narak, the sinners are there. But there are some who commit sinful activity even though they're knowledgeable. So for them they have to go to a special region of hell. Like you see, there are certain ministers, they are given special accommodation. Like you see, if any ministers are sent to prison, then they are given special accommodation in the prison, although they are ministers. So those who become Brahmarakshasas, they don't go to hell, they go to Dharmasthala. If you go to Dharmasthala, you can see. See, in the Tungabhadra River, there's so many fish there. Big fish. And they're very, in all these fish, there are like 10,000 fish there. Police are guarding, no one should touch these fish. You can feed these fish. They'll even jump on the surface. They'll play around, eat what you have to, but don't, you should not say anything to these fish. Try hurting them. So all the sadhus who died, they became these fish. Because you see the sadhus, They were living off other people's money, other people's food. So you say, if one dies in Vrindavan, he becomes a monkey. And all the Mayavadis, they become fish when they die. And Haridwar, if they die, they become a cow. Babaji becomes a monkey, Mayavadi becomes a fish. And in Varanasi, and they say the Mayavadis become fish. And in Haridwar, if anyone dies there, they become a crow. And they say, and therefore in Dharmasthal, they're all discussed. And you see, in Sunday, you see, when there's any judgment, many judges sit, not just one can judge. Now you see, immediately the judgment is given. Less than 15-20 days, the court is open. They say the court cases should not be delayed. Judgment should be given quickly. Similarly, Yammaraj is also there in Dharmasthal, where he gives his judgment quickly. So there, the king gave 100 Brahmanas this facility to serve. So Narayan Bhatta, he was the foremost among all these Brahmins. Also there is Tungabhadra River. And there Parshuram also was there. And there are very nice mountains there, very nice place. And so the Brahmins, They are maintained by the king. They forgot their tyag tapasya. They lost their sadhan bhajan. Like sometimes you say, Babaji's get food, then they lose their bhajan, then stop doing bhajan. They won't do mala mantra anymore. Because now they say, oh, I'm getting food easily. Oh, today I want to eat malpua, kheer, rabdi halwa. Why am I eating such bland food, boring food? I'm not coming here to eat khichdi. You see, I'm from a very high family. You think I'm a washerman and a dog eating like this? You say, why? Because they know they're no longer interested in bhajan. Now they want to enjoy. You see, the king made all arrangements. But the brahmanas, they've lost all their austerity. And they say, just as like you see, a person becomes very poor. A Brahman becomes very poor when he loses Brahmagyan. He doesn't do bhajan anymore. Sadhu becomes very unfortunate when he becomes separate from his mala mantra, from Bhagwan's seva. So what does the king do? King is always making arrangements for Padmanabha seva. Then slowly everything was destroyed. So Narayan Bhatta used to serve Padmanabha. He had a big farm. So he was thinking, he asked Padmanabha, I'm very old. Who will serve me? So he was praying. So no answer. Then this way, tapasya, well, this way even the river started drying because Brahmins stopped performing tapasya. There was no rain. It was very hilly region. It was very hot there. Could not grow anything there. No water. And they say they had to bring water from like very far. How else could they serve Padmanabha? And they say there you see, they make houses of wood. Like now you make houses made of stone. There you make houses of wood. A nice roof. Even now if you go there you can see. They make homes of wood. So when Narayan Bhatta prayed to Padmanabha, then Padmanabha said, alright. That's insane. This is that, so what we do? There's one person here. He will not consult his authority. But he will superseding that authority, saying, oh, I won't speak to the police station, police officer, I'll speak directly to the minister. And they say, you see here, even if you go to the minister, still you'll have to get the permission of the police inspector nearby. So similarly, Narayan Bhatta, why are you praying to me? Just pray to Brahma. Brahma is the creator of this world. You see, I'm giving you all the services because of Brahma. I'm saving all of you, I'm protecting all of you because of Brahma. So if you don't respect Brahma, then how are you respecting me? So then Narayan Bhatta said, alright, I'll pray to Brahma. And Brahma also was thinking that now it is Kali Yuga. Jiva is very unfortunate. They have no intelligence. They have so much ignorance. I'm very refined gentleman. Babuji. Even Andhra Pradesh, you see, if you go there, you'll have to call them Babu. Oh, Babu, come here. I just say, oh, sister, Akka, then they'll speak to you. I say, oh, Akka, give me some water. Then they'll say, oh, Babu, you should speak to them. So therefore, in Brahma, you see, the Jiva is very arrogant. They're puffed up. Even an ant has so much arrogance. If, if, even if you see, the ant is always ready to bite you. Even it breaks its leg, still it will not leave you. It will die biting you. So the Kali Yuga Jivas are like this. They're ready to die, but they'll not listen. So Narayan Bhatta, he worshipped Brahma. Then Brahma, he said, all right. There's no such jiva who doesn't breathe. You see, even the aquatic creatures, the creatures living on the land, in the sky, every living entity is always taking deep breaths to survive. So therefore, I'll send this Vayu Devata. What will he do? By Shabda Brahma Bhagavatvani Mantra, he will enter inside every living entity and purify them. And with every inhalation and exhalation, this Mukhya Pranvayu will revitalize them. See, as soon as air cannot enter into one's body, and you see his throat starts choking up, then he can no longer take any deep breaths. Then what happens? Then he dies. Then this way. So Brahma said, I'll send Vayu Devata. If he doesn't listen, then I'll. You see, if they don't listen, then he'll die. Because when a person cannot breathe, how can he survive? He cannot take a breath. Like here, there's a rule. When a person dies, they say, Ram Naam Satya Hai. They say, why do you say that the holy name of Ram is true when he's dying, when he's dead? Why not chant the name of Ram when he's still alive? So when he's taken to the burning ghat, then they say, Ram Naam Satya. So Brahma, he said, now I'll send this Pran Vayu Devata. Very nice guru. Don't do bhajan, don't do sadhan, what happens? First of all, they get asthma. They get bronchitis. They cannot breathe properly. They get a hole in their heart. And this way they cannot even breathe properly. Why? They haven't done any sadhan, any bhajan. And even when they do mala mantra, bhajan, then they can change. Therefore, Tulsidas is sung. One comes to Haribhajan, but then he gets sidetracked. Then you see, he eventually gets married, then he has children. Then he has to serve all of them, but he will not serve Bhagwan, do his bhajan. No matter how much we do for Bhagwan, no matter how much we do for family, do we do even little for Bhagwan? How much time are we giving to our family and how much time are we giving to Prabhu, Bhagwan? Say, oh, she chants 64 rounds. How can I chant 64 rounds? It's so difficult, painful for me. I can chant one day. How can I chant every day? Alright, I can chant on Ekadashi 64 rounds. Or else I can chant when there's a holiday. But how can I chant 64 rounds every day? Make many excuses. But you see, when you're dying, when you die, can you take your wife, children, grandchildren, your house, can you take it with you? Will your parents stop your death? So, oh, Brahma, he said, then this Vayu, he's capable of entering inside everyone. So he ordered Vayu to go there. He also sent Hanuman and Bhimsen. Now go and preach in Kali Yuga. So Narayan Bhatta came. Then he named his son Vasudev. He was just a small boy. He'd go with his father to the fields every day. And he'd tell his mother, oh, give me something to eat. Then he'd eat everything. Water was present in his house, he'd eat everything. Water, milk was left, curd was left, everything. Then his mother would ask him, is there a Brahmarakshas inside you? How much are you eating? How much can I feed you now? And he'll drink water, he'll drink huge pots of water. His mother would bring water from very far distance, 10 kilometers, and drink everything, big pots. His mother said, where did this boy come from? He's finishing everything in the house. Only when I was with my husband, we had something to eat. Now when he's come, we have nothing now. You see, like Kunti, what would she do? Bhim would tell Kunti, her mother, give me the food that all my other brothers have also. He said all these brothers, so they cannot even digest this food. So then Bhim would take all their food also and keep it on his plate. So Narayan, this same Bhim has come now as Narayan Bhatta's son. So now they're saying what to do. She asked Padmanabh, he will not let us do anything now. So Padmanabh was smiling. So then when his father, he incurred some debt. As he was farming, he took some money from one person. He bought two bulls, two ox. And then he owed him some money. And then he said, give me the money back. Give the money back, he'd be repeatedly asking him. Vasudevi asked his father, why does he come every day? And he becomes so sad. What does he say? And he said, oh, I took some money from him. He's asking for the money back. Then he called him, you come here. When he came there, he said, here, take as much money as you want. Here, he put these gold coins inside. And he said, and then he said, I'll also pay for your two bulls. Then he took there's a tamarind tree there, he took tamarind seeds, and he gave all these tamarind seeds to him in a bundle. When he saw there were so many gold coins there. So he said, I'm not so... He was an honest man. He said, why do you give me so many coins? So here, take this money back. I only want what you owed me. So then Narayan Bhatta said, where did you get this money from? Your son gave. So the son said, oh, he was asking for money, so I gave him the money he wanted. So then he said, I don't want so much money. I can take maybe 5, 6, 10 gold coins. Yeah, take everything back. The mother, she would go to bring water. The mother says, why are you suffering so much? Padmanabh is here. Ganga is always at his lotus feet. You don't have that faith. So then, listen. If I knew all these things, then why do I have to go so far? So then there's a mountain there. When Madhacharya, he started throwing the mountain away. And then in front of Padmanabha, he made a very nice kunda. Then Ganga appeared spontaneously from Padmanabha's feet and filled that kunda. He said, you don't have faith, just see Ganga Devi came here. Even now if you go there to Neel Madhav, in Odisha, then in Jagannath Puri, you can see Neel Madhav is on top of the hill. There you see also, at his lotus feet, there's a small pond there. There's a small hole there. And every time the Ganga is coming and filling that hole. The Sapta Ganga, the seven tributaries of the Ganga, they always flow from his transcendental body. Fill that hole. So there also Ganga is flowing from Padmanabh. She filled that pond in front of his temple. Very beautiful pond. It's very white, like milk, that pond. You can bathe there, you can drink that water, you can cook from that water. It's not very big. It's like half of our temple hall. But still thousands of people can bathe there. He said, oh, this water, how long will it stay? Then Vasudev said, this water will never dry. Even now, you see, thousands of years still, the pond is still present. And he told his father, hello father, I want to take sannyas and preach. And I'll defeat all the Mayavadis. Defeat Shankaracharya's followers and I'll make all them my disciples. And then his father said, oh, you're only speaking like this. And he said, oh father, what I'm saying is true. And he said, alright. You see this dry stick. Can this dry stick grow into a very nice tree? Then he said, here. The mother said, planted that dry stick and then they said, if it grows into a nice tree, then I'll agree. Then you see, it was a very hilly region. It was a dry piece of stick. Dry stick there. Just put inside the ground and then immediately it grew into a very huge banyan tree. Even now you can have darshan of that tree. So many thousands of people can sit underneath the shade of that tree. Grew into a huge tree. So then he said, no, I'll take sannyas. I said, first you study something. He said, what should I study? So then, Pashukakshetra to Udupi, there's a little distance. And then his father made some arrangements for him to study. So then he was sent to one Gurukul. And the next day he came there. His Guruji said, oh, these boys are very intelligent. He taught all the other students. He also teaches us. So now I'll make him the teacher, the Acharya here. He will teach everyone. No, there's no point of us teaching him. No, rather he's teaching us. Madhacharya said, I finished all my education now. What will you do? He said, no, I'll take sannyas now. How old was he? And Shankaracharya took sannyas when he was 8 years old. When he was only 12 years old, he was admitted into this Gurukul. Then he sat down to speak Harikatha there. Not just one or two, thousands would come to listen to him speak. And Narayanapatta, when he came to see his son, then they became composed to him. That he is our Guru, Acharya, don't take him away from here. They started fighting with him. They didn't let him leave there. When his father left, then after some days again he came. He said, he's having sannyas now. Now I will not return home. So there is a temple, Anandeshwar temple. There the Guru, the Mayavadis, he was saying that he took sannyas from him. His name was Achyut Praksha. So he took sannyas from him and then he started teaching everything. He would teach everyone that his own Guru. He said, oh, you give me diksha now. May I become your disciple now. So there is the Buddhists, the Jainis, the Mayavadis, so many. First Sankaracharya, second Sankaracharya. They all came. He defeated all of them. He made all of them his disciples. Now he said, I won't go preaching now. Then, first he wrote a commentary on Brahma Sutra, Mahabharata, and the Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. But when this Brahma Vimon Leela was described, he said, oh, Brahma is my Guru. How can I think that Brahma has overcome illusion? So he never wrote a commentary on this. He didn't write one word, one letter also. He said, how can I judge my Guru? Because Brahma, he was placed in illusion. He stole the cowherd boys and calves, he hid them in a cave. He was examining Krishna. So this entire chapter he just left. He didn't comment on this. He said, I cannot comment on my Guru. Because to judge him is not good. Then he took some disciples and went to Badrikashram. There he did Abhishek Badrinarayan, did Arati. And he sat there. And then he wrote this purport. He said, I come to speak it to you. You listen to it. He started speaking on all these purports. So that time, Vyasdev himself appeared there. And he said, you are very happy. Shankaracharya has destroyed everything. The Sharirik Bhashya and Mansik Bhashya and Atma Bhashya and Paramatma Bhashya. And he named it Sharirik Bhashya. He said, what I have written is Sharirik Bhashya. It's not Mansik or Atmik or Paramatik. It concerns the body. But they think Sharirik Bhashya is the topmost commentary. They remember all of this. Samantacharya, he, first of all, he wrote this commentary, Vaishnava commentary. And Vyasa became so happy with him. And he said, now you write a commentary on all the Upanishads. Ishokena Gata Mandagya, Prashna, Mandugata Itriya, Chandogya. You are in the Upanishads, write a commentary on them. And then you show it to me. Then you went again. Then what did he see? He saw. He defeated all the Mayavadis. And what were they written? Defeated all their arguments and he came there. And Vyasadev, he was very happy with him. Now you needed someone who was so qualified. Then he blessed him. You continue your preaching. And whatever you need, I'll make all arrangements. Because in Brahma Sampradaya, he is the Acharya. So without the instruction of his Guru, he cannot do anything. Order of his Guru. So when preaching, in so many places, because at the time, Muslims were controlling many parts of India. So there was an Hindu king. He saw 40-50 sannyasis, you see, they're very strong. You see Madhvacharya, you see his picture. You see how he was so strong. And then he said, today, you see, it's never rained here so many days. So it's like digging up a pond. In this way, all of you should help, all you for sannyasis. First, you should dig this pond and then go ahead. Because I wanted to leave. And Madhvacharya said, alright. Then he said, alright king, you show us a little. We don't know how to dig a pond. It's our sannyasis, so teach us. And the king started digging a pond. Then Madhvacharya said, now you dig the pond until there's water. And then we'll see how much you've dug. And then we'll help you. And the king, he became a fool. And his king and the entire army, they themselves started digging the pond. And then they took their chisels and they started like, they digging up this pond then with their own hands. And Madhvacharya, he went. And there he saw there was a big graveyard there. And then he started doing Abhishek Gopal there, doing Arati, Puja, offering Bhoga. And all the Muslims, they came there. They came running. They said, oh Baba, don't do like this. Yesterday, you see, the only son of the king, he died, you just buried him here. So don't ring your bell here, don't blow your conch here. And he said, alright. Then the king came there also. Then he said, why did you bury this boy? The mullahs have said, they should bury him, now he's dead. Then they take his body out. Then they again took the grave out, took the boy out. The Madhvacharya came from Charanamrita Gopal. And he spoke the mantra inside his ear. And immediately, smiling, he opened his eyes and he sat up. And then Madhvacharya gave some prasad to Gopal, made him his disciple and left, and he also left. Then the king said, take my kingdom, take whatever you want. Just give this boy back to me. He said, you buried your boy just now. Now he's mine. I brought him back to life. How is he your son anymore? I'll take him wherever I wish. He said, no, I'll not give this son to you anyway. He's already, you keep him. He said, you cannot even keep him for one day. How can you keep him? And when he was preaching this way, everywhere he went. He went all over India. All the Buddhists, all the Jains, all the Mayavadis, all of them. Not only just defeating them, he also gave them this Gyan. And then he'd say, you will never be happy in your life if with every inhalation and exhalation, remember Bhagwan. Then no evil living entities can enter inside your body and disturb your mind. And they say, if you're always remembering Bhagwan. Because you see, if once you take an inhalation, then you'll also have to exhale. If you inhale, so the time when you exhale, then automatically living entities are entering your body. Not that other Sangha means you're it means only speaking with Vishayis materialists, but no. That is gross form of sensation. But what is a subtle form of sensation? So as you go to one place smelling so much, then you say, oh, smell so much here. If you go to a nice place, you smell so nice here. So this way, you see, you're actually associating with these different kinds of smells. So therefore, you should not limit yourself to such suggestion. Always remember Bhagwan. So this Guru Mantra is given, then every time this Guru Mantra should be chanted, then Guru is with you. Then no problem. Then your spirituality, no dusanga or evil, other living entities can enter inside you. And you'll never be a coward. You'll never be very miserable in your life. You'll never be scared. So this way he was preaching. And every day he'd go serve Ananda Padmanabha along with all his disciples. But the Brahmins there, they're very strict. Even now, if one follows Brahmacharya for 48 years, then he is given sannyas. And he shall just be of a Brahmin family. Or they won't give him sannyas. And if he gives diksha, then they have very strong rules. Very, very difficult to even take diksha in that line, Madhacharya's line. And you see, they make sure that all their books are only in Sanskrit or in Kannada. They never be translated in any other language. But Prabhupada, he went there, Bhaktisiddhanta, and he went there and took all their books. And he translated all their books. And he translated all of them in Gaudiya Patrika, Harmonious Paramatiki, Bhagavad Patrika. There are so many Patrikas used to be published. Therefore, some of these translations were published. And Chaitanya Mahat, they published the four deities are established there in Chaitanya Mahat. Prabhupada made sure Bhagavad was offered to them. And this way, he published all the instructions in the Gaudiya Patrika. So this way, Madhvacharya, he gave all the service of Padmanabha to all his disciples. So there, every day, he'd go bathe in the ocean. Then he'd go bathe in the ocean there. He'd meditate there. So one day, he went to bathe. He saw a big ship coming there, floating. The ship was coming from far. But the ship got stuck there. Could not move anymore. So that time, he saw. That was very... So now you see, now there's so much fog. Dhund. So much fog, so much mist. In the ocean especially, there's so much fog there. Then they saw the very effulgent personalities approaching them, like the sun itself. They saw a very effulgent sannyasi was approaching them. They saw him and they prayed to him, saying, "Oh, kindly, you're very strong, kindly help us moving the ship." Then just by the signal of his hand, the ship started moving. Then they said, "We want to give you some dakshina." Imagine the ship was coming from Dwaraka. It was going there. So that time, they had a big block of Gopi Chandan. Then they said that we didn't have so many things, so we bought big blocks of Gopi Chandan to maintain balance inside the ship. But now the ship, in spite of that, it's got stuck now on the ocean floor. So you want to help this ship move across. Now you need this Gopi Chandan, so here you keep this big block with you. And he said, "All right, give it to me." So they bought this big block of Gopi Chandan. Who would carry it? It's so heavy. But you see, it's not too heavy for Bhim Sen or for Hanuman. So Bhandachara, he carried it on his two shoulders, these two blocks. Then he came there, and when he was coming there, he kept it on the bank of the ocean. Then broke into two pieces. And from one, Bal Gopal emerged, this Dadimantan Gopal, was holding this churning rod that his mother used to have. And another deity manifested, which was Baladev's. So first he had recited all the five stotras. And then, when he brought Krishna back to Udupi, then he composed seven more stotras. So even though if you go in the morning, in Udupi, they sing these other stotras, the Vasudeva stotras, Bhagavan stotras. And in there, on the banks of the ocean nearby, also there, Baladev Prabhu, he's there. Baldev Rao says you take Gopal, but I won't go there in the city. He says 55 quintals, his weight, 180. But Madhvacharya, he carried him easily. So he went to Pashukshetra during his childhood. Then his mother told him, "You're always playing the whole day. I go to fetch water." And he says some animals might come. They might eat all the food. So what will you eat then? And he said, "All right, you put everything. And when I'm hungry, I'll eat it. I won't let anyone come here." And she said, "All right, you're always playing. So some animal might come and eat everything away. Because it's straw hot." Because she knew that my son needs so much, cook so much for him. Sugar, kheer, rice, dal, everything was present, like milk. And the Madhvacharya, he carried a huge boulder. And he covered the entire entry to the house. And then he went to Parashuram Kshetra. And then he went to the spiritual, there's a cave there, Parashuram used to stay. When he went to play there, the mother said, "There's no one here inside the house. Maybe some demon has come and covered this hut with a big block, huge boulder." So mother, she said, "Vasudev, where are you?" He said, "Mother, I'm playing here." Then immediately he jumped. She said, "Someone's covered our house with this boulder. How can I enter inside?" And immediately he jumped across. And like he jumped more than 2 kilometers. Then immediately he landed in front of the big boulder, big stone. And then they say, as soon as the imprints of his feet appeared on the stone, it melted and went inside the ground, went inside earth. Then the stone bore the imprints of his feet. His mother said, "You're so strong, you can even fly in the air. Who put this rock here?" He said, "I did, mother, this huge boulder." Then in front of his mother, he took that boulder and threw it out. He said, "Mother, now you'll not have to struggle so much to get water. Now everything will be present before you." So then in minutes, he arranged for rice, dal, clothes, everything that she needed for cooking and for offering bhoga to Padmanabh. And where would he bring all these things? No one would ever know. So Madhvacharya made disciples. Then that person, that Muslim prince who was his disciple, he anyhow reached Udupi and he was chanting his mantra that his guru had given him. By chanting this guru mantra, guru empowers his disciple. And they say he can never forget his guru 24 hours a day. Mahaprabhu said, "At all times you should chant Krishna. Sleeping, waking, resting, there's no consideration of time, place, circumstance. You can chant any place, any time, any circumstance, and achieve Sarvasiddhi, the ultimate perfection. But if one does not, one should become established in all these teachings." So Madhvacharya, he gave such shakti to that boy, the Muslim boy, then he left everything and he only wanted to have darshan of Gopal. They would not let him drink water. What is people giving him Mahaprasad? Because he was from a Muslim family. He'd be sitting on the street and be crying for Gopal. So they saw that this boy was trying to have darshan of Gopal. Then what did Gopal do? He broke the wall and he turned to the other side and he gave darshan to this boy. And he gave his chanamrit, his prasad, everything to this boy. And he gave him. See, Bhagavan, he had a golden pot of water. And he gave him that water also to this boy. And this boy was sitting on the streets. And everything came to this boy. And the pujari saw there was nothing inside the temple. And Thakurji's bhoga is there. And Madhvacharya, he came and he said, "That, oh, he knows some tantra mantra." So therefore, some told Madhvacharya, some devotees, that Thakurji, he's turning his back. He turned his position just to give darshan to this boy. And now all our items for serving Gopal have also gone away. And Madhvacharya, he told his disciples, "You see, you have love for your own pride. But this boy, Although he's a Muslim, his love is for Gopal. He's not selfish. So he will be the main priest. Now bring him here. Because he has so much love for Gopal that Gopal himself changed his side and gave him darshan. And then the king, he gave so much wealth and everything. Then he took everything and threw it inside the hole. He said, if one has this wealth, then, you see, one will only become attached to this wealth, gold. How will he be attracted to us, Bhagavan? You can only have two things. You can only have one thing. You can either have Bhagavad Bhakti, or you will either become wealthy, or else give your heart to Bhagavan. You cannot have both. So the time, Mother Shara, what did he do? For Gopal, nearby, he manifested his Kheer Samudra, Kheer Sagar. He made a very nice pond there. And Gopal, every day he'd go and knock a vihar there. In this kunda, in this kirtan going on all four sides. And this is not just one day, 12 months. In the evening, what do they do? Gopal, he sits on a chariot, Zutsav Vikra, and then they're playing on so many instruments. And not like the arti we do. We only offer 5 giviks, but there they offer thousands of giviks in the Dwarati. So the whole streets are decorated with lamps to receive Gopal. And they offer arti, they offer puja. And every day is a great festival there. And I see 25,000-30,000 people every day there honoring Mahaprasad there in Udupi. Madhacharya, he said, wherever Gopal is, the Gopi, Govatsa, then there will never be any shortage in the storehouse. So Baldev Prabhu, he said, for Gopal Seva, Madhacharya made all arrangements. Made all arrangements there. So if there's any shortage, he said, if you have any shortage, then go to Baldev Sankarshan Ram. He will open his storage and you can take as much as you want. And even now, if they ever need something, they go to Baldev Prabhu, all the Brahmins, all the Pujaris. And this way, the sannyasis, they go there. They have 8 temples and 2 sannyasis for every temple. And the sannyasi, he does darshan, he offers bhoga, he does abhishek. And then he stays awake the whole night in Ekadashi. And then they offer tulsi leaves to him the whole day. And they follow his nirjala vrata. The whole day they do kirtan. And they have, on Ekadashi day, all sannyasis from all the temples come. From all the 8 temples, they say 16 sannyasis appear. And then they say from every temple they worship Gopal for 2 hours each. You say they follow these such rules very strictly. They say Madhacharya started preaching. And he wrote so many Vaishnava Shastras. All the rules and regulations, how to accept Diksha, everything is given. Once we went to one place called Sindhanur. Nearby there's one place, this Tungabhadra River. And on the other side of the river, there is this now in Navan. There all the acharyas, they are given samadhi there. You see, Madhacharya, on this day, he was speaking on the Aitri Upanishad. And then as he was speaking, the demigods started showering these parijat flowers on him. And these mandar flowers. And then all the flowers they find in Swarga, they start covering him with all these flowers when they are doing an abhishek. They are covering him head to toe. He was speaking, continuing to speak Harikatha. He was completely covered. And what did he say? When they removed all the flowers, then they saw his body was no longer there. They looked everywhere, but he was not there. And then, there in Navrindavan, where the Stungavidara river flows, Sivalvacharya also has a bhajan study there. This is Shimok Parvat nearby. Ram stayed for 4 months. He stayed there for Chaturmasya. There is also a cave there. Sugriva used to stay, where Bali used to stay. And Pampa Sarovar, where Sabarishi Dupajan is there. Matangarishi's ashram is there. And so the Samadhi Peet is there in Navrindavan. Follows Madhacharya. Even now if you go there, Then the Sevaks, then whoever disappeared in that line, just see where send the 99 rupees. But still, they bought all the Rajas from the Indian version there. You have to go catch a train from Bangalore there to send the for 6 hours. Even now, they don't have a railway station there. Maybe now they made a built railway station there. There's a huge forest there. Very nice mountains there. So it's very place which can give you perfection. If you want to make your mind and heart pure, then you say we had no disciples anyhow. They called us there. The men we had so many connections there. We had darshan of all these places there. As you never could have imagined. That all the way from Mathura. We'll never leave Mathura. We're always there in the temple. And Prabhu, he arranged for us to have darshan of all these places. So then, in the Samadhi Stal, you see, how do they cross the Tungabhadra River? There's no boat there. There's one big boat. There's one basket made of dry grass. Only two or four can sit inside that basket. And all the girls there, they ferry one across in these baskets. So there were some with me, some brahmacharis there. They said, oh, we'll just swim across, why should we just sit in this basket? So they started swimming across in the river. And then you see there's very extreme there. And it's very cold also. Then they could no longer swim across. Then those same girls, they anyhow saved those brahmacharis who were trying to swim across. Then even Prajnath Prabhu, Madhav Maharaj, they also came there. And you see, even these tokaris are also made of dry grass. And they also sat there. Then Madhav Maharaj and Prajnath think, what if we drown here? Then I said, don't worry, I'm also there with all of you. We'll also go together. Come. Then they say, we crossed the river then. And we went there. A very beautiful place. Even now, thousands of years have passed. And you see all the granthas there are present. Then there's a rule there. At 10 o'clock, the prasad is given. Big, big halls. And then you just have to wash your hands and then give you a plate. They give you a glass. They give you a prasad. And you can eat as much as you want. No one will say anything. And you can sit there for katha, kirtan. You see, you don't have to do anything. Just sit there for kirtan, they'll feed you everything. They'll give you everything there. There I was seeing, I became so surprised. Then I went to Guruvayur in Tirupati. You see, South India's Vaikuntapuram. They don't say, oh, which caste are you from? Give us coupon, this, that. No, no. Anyone come and take prasad there. They wouldn't wash their hands. And you see, even the sadhus are everywhere. Whatever you need, they'll give you. Always respecting people there. They say, but if you're hypocrites in the guise of sadhu, then Hanuman is ready there. He will take his club, his mace, and he'll give you nice treatment. And this way, today is the disappearance day of Madhvacharya. And tomorrow is Ramanacharya's Thiruva. Day after is Ekadashi, then Varadadashi, then Nithanantaradashi. So during these days are Maharajas and Mathura. 3 days we had to fast. Nijala on Ekadashi, Dadashi, Channamrit Paran. And Trayadashi, eat some fruits. And then on Chaturdashi, you could break your fast. When I was new to the temple, I almost became mad. I'd go sit in the Yamuna until 2 or 3 in the winter also. The body became very warm because Nirjala Vrata and whole day Seva Archan Shringar of a Boga for Thakurji. They're very strict in there. Sadhan Nirbhajan. Nirjala means Nirjala. And they say, whole night they're awake on Vara Dadashi. Vara Devi is worshipped, Archan is done. Just give a little Charnamrit. Or you can drink some lemon juice. Where would get sugar? Good. Where would get this black pepper? So just drink some water mixed with good. And then Nityan Tradashi, just eat once. What do? Boil potatoes, add some black salt or some lemon. And that was only little, a pandona, this Mahaprasad. That was tapasya then. Now you see, now bhogas offered like kings. Now Ekadashi especially, you see, so many different kinds of items are made. In Ekadashi, all 11 senses are eating. You're eating by your eyes, you're eating by your nose, you're eating by your 2 ears, you're eating by everything, by all the 11 senses. Everyone is so happy to follow Ekadashi now. Saying, oh, today nice paneer sabji, halwa, kheer, pakodi, peanuts, chips. And they say, on Ekadashi especially, we are so happy. They say, let's go there, we'll get some nice chips there. And they say, Madhvacharya, he is the Adi Guru of our Sampradaya. And Mahaprabhu accepted this Sampradaya. Now we'll listen tomorrow about Sri Ramanujacharya. And you see this Anantacharya, he does 3-4 days festival in this Chota Tirupati temple here in Vrindavan. He calls all the sadhus from Rajmandal. Samadhacharya is the Adi Guru of the Sampradaya. This Brahma of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. They say, oh, Mahaprabhu has his own Sampradaya. He has no connection with Mathu Sampradaya. They say so many things. But Prabhupada Sri Thakur Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Baldev Devushan Ravishnath Thakur, Jiva Goswami himself, he has written, described how we follow this Mathu Sampradaya. And Prabhupada has mentioned this Guru Parampara. We follow his line. Now listen tomorrow. Ooh.